this evening. Acts chapter 8, verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. The day of Pentecost, found in Acts chapter 2, gives us a great example as to what to preach. Every word is designed to awaken faith in Jesus, then to motivate the audience to faithful obedience. But did the next evangelist follow the same pattern? It's good to notice what the next evangelist preached, because that's what we need to preach. About our text, Christians were scattered because of the persecution in Jerusalem. Remember what happened to Stephen as he goes with the authority of God and the Holy Spirit to the Sanhedrin and gives God's indictment to them that they were guilty of egregious sin. He was stoned to death, and at that point, the Christians were scattered abroad. They didn't scatter and hide, though. They scattered and preached. Notice Acts 8, verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching the word. They scattered, yes, and they preached. So we find Philip in Samaria. The Lord worked miracles through him so that the people could believe. As John says of Jesus in John 20, verses 30 and 31, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. These things were done so that people might believe. Mark chapter 16 and verse 20. At the end of that great book, Jesus gives the great commission. He tells the apostles what they were to do. They were to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned or condemned. And then in verse 20, it tells how Jesus, or how the apostles went and indeed preached the word, but Jesus went with them. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following, so that people could believe that the words that the apostles were preaching were true. Signs and wonders were done. There were those that were raised from the dead. There were those that had demons, that those demons were cast out. There were those that are ill, and they were healed. Many other things were done so that people might believe in what the speaker was saying. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. The effect of such was that the word was confirmed. Confirmed. I love that word because it's something that we can stand on. Notice the last half of it uses the word firm. The word was confirmed. That means you can stand upon that word. You can rely on it. You can trust in it. How shall we escape? We're in Hebrews 2, verses 3 and 4. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us? Notice, was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. How was it confirmed? God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. So signs and wonders and gifts of the Holy Spirit. These were the methods by which God used to confirm the word that was preached. The content, though, of Philip's preaching is critical. The things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Go back to our text, Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. Philip is in the city of Samaria. He has just left the Ethiopian nobleman. He goes to preach. And it says, but when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, They were baptized, both men and women. The content of his preaching is critical. The things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. When they heard these things, they believed and they obeyed. Because we have been given the same job of world evangelism, just like Philip, we ought to examine what the New Testament has to say about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Are we been given the same job? Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20 says we have been. Now, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Notice this last passage. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, what had he just commanded them? Go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's our job. It's a great commission because it encompasses the whole world. It encompasses the whole world for all time, at least to the future. And it encompasses all Christians because that is our responsibility. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. And it said unto them, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Now, I told you before that there are some passages that you have to memorize in order to get through the school of preaching. I didn't get through all the way, but my case, sometimes they slip from me, and I'd like to know why. Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Go ye into all the world. The then known world was the Roman Empire, and indeed, they did go into all the world of their day. Luke 24, verses 46 and 47. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Among all nations. So far as we live, and so far as Jesus has not come back, people have a need to know the gospel. And those that have the responsibility are those that have the gospel. That's not obvious to all. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. We have the job to teach everyone that we can. To the best of our ability, as long as we have that ability. The things concerning the kingdom of God. Out of dozens of passages, we must choose a few that apply. The things concerning the kingdom of God, John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. Jesus is meeting a man by the name of Nicodemus by night. That man had some questions of Jesus, and Jesus goes about answering not the questions he wants answered, but the questions he needs answered. And when they, chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, what did Philip preach? The things concerning the kingdom of God. Jesus had already taught about the terms of entrance. Unless you're born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Notice verse 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. That's the kingdom of God, the things concerning the kingdom. Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, the things concerning the kingdom. The Apostle Peter taught, when he first used those keys of the kingdom Jesus taught him about, those first words that he gave them concerning the kingdom were the terms of entrance. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. They were to repent and be baptized. Notice how it affects the kingdom, because they were added to the church, verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now you said something about the kingdom. Where is that in the church? Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19. If you've never caught this particular lesson, you need to know that the church is the kingdom. Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19. And I invite you to mark your Bible up on this particular matter because it is important. The church is the kingdom. You get into an argument with someone that is a premillennialist, you'll need to know this, that the church is the kingdom, because they'll tell you the kingdom has not yet been established. But if the church is here, the kingdom is here. And so you need to know that the church is the kingdom. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Notice it, church, singular. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Same breath, verse 19. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The keys of the kingdom of heaven, speaking of the church. They're one in the same. If you enter into the church, you enter into the kingdom. If you enter into the kingdom, you enter into the church. And then Philip preached the things concerning the name of Jesus. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, we find that that name is a soul-saving name. Matthew 1 and verse 21 tells us about the birth of Jesus and how and what he was named. The angel says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Philip was going to preach on the name of Jesus. I don't know what better thing he could have preached. He shall save his people from their sins. If you're interested in salvation, if you're interested in redemption, if you're interested in forgiveness, there is but one name. There's only one, and that's the name of Jesus. It's the name of ultimate authority. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul preaching what he knew about the authority of Jesus Christ. And here's what he says. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God, the Father. The name of ultimate authority. There is no higher name. There is no other place to appeal to. If you want something, an answer religiously, the highest court is the court of Jesus. The name of ultimate authority. We've already noted Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, where Jesus tells his apostles that he has all authority in heaven and in earth. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, there's two words for power in the New Testament. There is one that is pronounced ekousia, and it's the power of authority. There's one that is pronounced dunamis, and you'll find that in Romans 1, verse 16, the power of the gospel. But this one in Matthew 28, 18 is the one that is ekousia, which means the right to rule, the authority to tell others what they must do. His name is the name of ultimate authority. Notice in Acts chapter 3 and verse 6, when the apostles tell this man who had come to them to receive a gift, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to thee. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, verse 6, then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That's a powerful thing. In Jesus' name, he could rise and walk. In Jesus' name. Who else could it have been? We are baptized in his name. Once again, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 10 and verse 48, at the household of Cornelius, the Apostle Peter has seen the Holy Spirit come upon the household of Cornelius, indicating that Gentiles were subject to the gospel, and he commanded them to be baptized. Baptized, is that it? In the name of the Lord. And they prayed, then prayed they him to tarry certain days. We are baptized in his name. Acts chapter 19 and verse 5. Acts chapter 19, verse 5. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Why is it important that baptism is in his name? Remember what happened when healing was done in his name? Healing happened. Healing, a man was told, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And what was he able to do? He was able to rise up and walk. Now we tell people that if you repent and be baptized, you're going to be saved. We do it in the name of Jesus so they can understand where the power is. If they can trust that Jesus healed through someone else, that someone was actually healed, and the Bible tells us that they were, then when people get into the waters of baptism, can they believe that they're saved at that point? They've done everything that God tells them to do. Yes, they can. That name is that powerful. You can trust it. If he tells you that's what you are to do, then that's what you are to do. The things concerning the name of Jesus. We're baptized in his name. When baptized in his name, forgiveness happens. The great pattern for our preaching is then given. We are to preach the word. 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2. We are charged. Timothy was charged. I charged thee in the name of the Lord Jesus that he was to preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Preach the word, not your opinion, even though it sounds impressive. Don't care about your opinion, and I'm sure you don't care about mine on religious matters. Maybe you want to know something about Texas, and I can tell you about Texas, and that might be something that you would want to listen to, but not here. Here in this place, in this time, it's about the gospel. And so you want to know what Jesus says. People by the name of Peter, Paul, James, and Jude, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the names that you want to hear from, not me. Preach the word. And Jude, verse 3, Jude tells us that he had once wanted to just preach the plain truth with regard to the gospel. But it tells them that he can't. He has to take care of some matters. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once for all delivered unto the saints. The faith. That's what we are to preach. Romans 1 and verse 16. The Apostle Paul puts it in another way. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it is the power of God unto salvation. A nation is at war, and we need a new weapon. Perhaps it's a weapon at sea because we're being attacked by sea. And the best ship that we can come up with is out in the harbor. It's brand new. It's going on a shakedown trial right now. We beam with pride at what we've done. And then the guns go off. And you see things explode. And you note the power of it. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. He had no reason to be ashamed because that's what we're to preach, the gospel. I know many preachers, they get upset when no one comes down the aisle. But I know the nature of the gospel. Things change for people when you preach. They either get harder-hearted or softer-hearted. It doesn't, every time you say something that's biblical, something happens. I don't need to see people walk down the aisle. It doesn't make my heart sad when nobody does, because I know something happens, because I believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe in the power. It has power to change lives and save souls. Note the similarities. Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. Back to our text. Acts chapter 8 and verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now notice Acts 28, verse 23. Acts 28, verse 23. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning till evening. Did you notice the two words in both of those texts? Things concerning the kingdom and the name of Jesus Christ. And then in chapter 28, verse 23, Paul preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and persuading them concerning Jesus. That's what we are to preach today. The kingdom of God, how do you get in it? The kingdom of God, how do you lose your salvation once you're in it? Those things about the authority of Jesus, about his name and the power of his name, those are the things that we need to focus on when we preach the gospel. Notice also Acts 28, verse 31, the very last verse. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. That's what they did. That's what we are to do. The kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. You know, it's just like Jesus. John chapter 3, verses 3 and 5. Let's notice that once again. What did our Lord preach when he was here on this earth? To this man and the small hours of the night, as Nicodemus came to him in the darkness. Nicodemus, well, he wanted to know some things, but Jesus was going to give him a gift much deeper and much richer. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus taught. Born of water and Spirit to enter the kingdom. And then in verse 7, Marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again. I have 2 points in my conclusion. The first is this. The kingdom of God and the name of Jesus must be in our preaching. That's what we need to make sure people know about. Kingdom of God, how to get into it, because that's the place of salvation. And the name of Jesus Christ, that's our object of worship. That's the one who has authority. That's the one through whom we can be saved. He is the one who atoned for us. He shed his blood for us. That's what we need to know. And the second thing is this. Are you in the kingdom? Have you been born again? These are things you need to ponder, and ponder quickly, because eternity is rushing toward us. We can assist you in your obedience if you need to be baptized for the remission of sins so that you can be born again. We invite you to do that now. If at this moment, you find that you're not right with God, you can make it right. Ask him for forgiveness. He's promised to forgive. He wants you to be forgiven. He wants you in heaven and gives you every opportunity. If we can assist you in your obedience, why don't you come and sit on one of these front pews as we stand, as we sing.